Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God, which we'll meditate upon this morning, is from the first epistle of St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So far I pass. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Here we come to the Festival of All Saints, and some might wonder, what is the purpose of this day? It sounds a little more like something the Catholics would do. And in fact, the abuse of All Saints Day and the abuse of understanding who and what the saints were was at the heart of the Reformation. It's not an accident that All Saints Day is the day after Reformation Day. It was because of the way that the Catholics thought and used the saints that Martin Luther posted those 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, warning people against such practices the next day, All Saints Day. And yet, we still celebrate All Saints Day. Simply do it the way it should be done, instead of the wrong way. So how and what are we doing on this day? To begin with, we are not praying to the saints as though they can help us, or as though they need help from us. There is, of course, no word in all the scripture that promises that the saints are able to hear us, or are paying attention to us, or are able to help us, even if they can hear us. And more than that, we have many promises in Scripture that Christ our Lord hears all our prayers, and the Holy Spirit is with us in all need to give us comfort. Having Christ, having the Holy Spirit, what need do we have for anyone else? If God is on our side, who can be against him? Why do we need to pray to the saints? We can pray to Christ. We also, of course, reject the idea that those who have died need our prayers in any way for their aid. The Bible reminds us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, so that those who have passed on are either with Christ and certainly don't need our help then, or are not, that there is no help we can give them. It is not a day for remembering the saints in such a way that we think they need that remembrance. Should we then pray for the saints who have departed? Absolutely we should. The great hymn of All Saints Day, the one we're going to sing later, for all the saints, is a prayer for the saints who have gone before. That's how it starts, for all the saints. But what is it that we are praying for? You have to continue on and reverse a little bit. You have to get to the end to find what we're praying for. For all the saints who from their labors wed, who thee by faith before the world confess, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. We do indeed pray for the saints, but when we pray for the saints who have departed, there's only one thing to say. Praise to the Lord who has given them the victory over sin and death. Praise Jesus. All Saints Day, like every other day, is first and foremost about Christ. The Lamb was slain, who died on the cross so that we might be called saints and children of God, the Lamb who brought those who have gone before into heaven. What is a saint? Our first reading from the book of Revelation reminds us that these are they who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They're not saints because of their great deeds or their great faith or their mighty works. They are saints, they are holy, because Christ died for their sins only by the blood of the Lamb. And what does our text this morning remind us? It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, has given to us, that we should be called the children of God." All those who believe in God are called saints, but we are holy in His blood. And all those who have died in that faith stand now before the throne and before the Lamb. They don't need prayers for any kind of day. But we'll notice in our reading from Revelation that the elders and the angels and all the saints and all the living creatures in heaven all join together in a prayer of praise to the Lamb for what He has done. You know that. You know all those prayers that occupy our time right now, all those things we pray for while we're on this earth, for relief from sickness, for aid, for comfort, for health, for strength, for faith. All of those prayers that make up the bulk of what we pray for now will end when we go to heaven. We will no longer need prayers of that kind. But the prayer of praise of the 24 elders and the saints and all the angels will continue for all eternity. The prayer praising the Lamb who has given us the victory. And that's the first part of that great hymn we're going to sing later today. Praising and thanking God for what He has done for us and for those who have departed. And it's how we are going to remember some of those saints that are especially dear to us in our prayers this morning. Thanking and praising God for the victory that He has given to them. So yes, the first purpose of All Saints Day is to pray for those who have gone before us, to pray prayers of praise to Christ. But of course, not all the saints have passed on yet, have they? There are many right here in this church who are still struggling, as our song of the day reminds us, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. And so another part of All Saints Day is to pray for those saints, us, who, although we have the victory in Christ Jesus, we have been washed by His blood and are therefore called saints, nevertheless have trials and tribulations and suffering yet to go through before we reach our final victory. Our text this morning says, "Everyone who has this hope purifies himself." Because we are the children of God, because we know what waits for us, that we strive, we live that sanctification in this life. And you see here the proper understanding of what a saint is in the place of works in the life of God's saints. We, of course, reject the idea that saints is a term applied only to those who through great deeds have earned for themselves salvation or earned for themselves a special place before God. Romans 3:23 reminds us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is indeed true that there are those who, on this earth, from a human standpoint, are much better at living their faith and have done some what we would call great good works. Nevertheless, if you work hard, and you study hard for a test, and you get 65%, or if you don't study at all, and you get 5% on the test, either way, you fail. And that's what the Bible makes it clear, that before God, we have all failed, even those of us who have tried the hardest. And so salvation is not ours by our works, and we are not called saints because of our works, but by the grace of God who has blessed us
with the gift of his Son.
Nevertheless, having received that gift, rejoicing in that gift, we want to live it in our lives. And for this, we need God's grace and we need God's strength. And for this, the example of those who have gone before us is very helpful. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us, because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside everything that would hinder us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. In our struggles on this earth, we can remember that we are not alone. That there are many, many, 10,000 times 10,000, our reading from Revelation told us, who have gone through the same thing and yet made it through when it seems like there's no hope in our life and there's no way we can continue. We remember those who have persevered, and we remember Christ who promises us to be with us in all tribulation. This is the second part of that great hymn that we are going to sing at the end of our service. When it begins with a prayer of thanksgiving to God for what he has done for the saints, and then continues reminding us that we need to struggle, that they are an example to encourage us in this life. And the third thing we want to do on All Saints Day is to look forward with eager expectation to that day when we will join those saints in Christ's kingdom. Our text reminds us, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we first read this verse, it might seem like a non-sequitur. What does seeing Christ have to do with being like him? We see lots of things. It doesn't mean we're like them, right? If you can see a horse, it doesn't mean we look like a horse. But of course, the Apostle John is much, much better at remembering his Old Testament than we are sometimes. And he's thinking back to that time when Moses asked God. Remember that when Moses asked God, and he could see him face to face. And God responded, no. No one can see my full glory. You cannot see my face and live. In our sinfulness, the full glory of God would consume and destroy us. Moses saw what remained after the face of God passed by, but he could not stand in the presence. And yet on that day, John says, we will stand in the presence of God in the full glory of Christ. Therefore, clearly, at that point, we will be like him in righteousness and holiness. Otherwise, we would not be able to stand and see him face to face. Now we are children of God. We have that promise through his word and through our baptism. In God's word, he gives that promise to all people in a general way. Whoever believes is a child of God. But in our baptism, he gives it to us personally. You are a child of God. And so we have that wonderful hymn before our sermon, reminding us, yes, I know that I am a child of God. And this is such a wonderful thing that John the Apostle says, behold, what manner of love. He can't even describe the greatness of God's love that he would do this for us. You know, this is the same phrase that Mary used when the angel appeared to her. Behold, what manner of greeting is this? What's going on here? I can't even comprehend how amazing this is that an angel should appear to me. And so John says the same thing about God's love. It's astonishing that he should call us children of God. But even more astonishing, even more incomprehensible is what we will be. Right now we have a small taste, a little piece of God's grace and God's glory. But then we shall stand in the full presence of his glory and we shall see him as he is. You know, the first year that I was in India, I can barely remember it. This was all kind of a blur. Everything was so different. It's so far beyond and above my normal experience of life that it was just hard to comprehend and to put into my memory what was going on. Much more so that life which is to come. This is one of the reasons that the book of Revelation is so difficult for us to understand, because it's a glimpse of heaven, isn't it? In the book of Revelation, the heavens are open to us and we see that life which is to come, but it's so far beyond our expectations that it's hard for us to understand and grasp it. Right now we have a small taste, but then we shall see him and rejoice in all that he has done for us. You know, thinking in human terms, we can understand how it might be natural for somebody who has come into riches. I'm not talking about, you know, a couple thousand or 10,000. I'm talking about real riches, billions of dollars here. Maybe someone who didn't know that they were an heir to a kingdom or something, right? And then all of a sudden they find out, oh, they're the next king. We can understand how someone who comes into a riches like that might forget about and leave behind the friends he had when he was poor. We don't really expect to find Bill Gates, you know, down here in Virginia, the local pub, do we? Even if he'd grown up here, we wouldn't really expect that. And yet Christ, when he came into his kingdom, when he rose from the dead and assumed, again, all power, dominion, and might, what did he say to the women on that first Easter morning? He says, go and tell my brothers. Even coming into his glory and assuming again the kingship of the earth, he still calls us his brothers. In what manner of love God has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. We cannot understand it yet, and we cannot understand the fullness of the glory that will be ours, but we know it will be glorious. And that's the third thing. Our hymn we're going to sing at the end of church. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl, within the countless hosts. The countless hosts. 10,000 times 10,000 in sparkling raiment bright. We look forward with joy and eager expectation to the day when we will join that great crowd singing before the throne praises to the Lamb who died for us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds.